Well, good afternoon, Third Service. How are we doing today? Did you get your fill of 4th of July food? Hamburgers, hot dogs. For my Hispanic friends, menudo that I like. All right. Pastor Ron wanted me to let you know that he is on vacation for the month of August, so he's taking time off, well-deserved time off, so he'll get back and get back here in August. He's taking July off, so just want to let you him know that, let you know that about him. Also, too, before I forget, I want to pray for our friends down in Ridgecrest, California, that were near the epicenter of the earthquakes that were down there. How many of you felt the earthquakes here in Las Vegas? Yes, most of you did, yes. I felt both of them. Vicki and I, the second one, we were watching the Dodgers on TV, and all of a sudden, Vicki said, look at that camera, it's bouncing up and down. I said, well, that guy's drunk, man. The cameraman's been drinking. He needs to not drink during the, and it was just bouncing. Next thing you know, I say, wait a second, what's going on? And we start feeling where our couch is like on a boat. We're like, we're rocking back and forth, like we're a little swing or something. And so, yeah, very, very eerie, huh? And so I want to pray for our folks down there. You might have seen some of the news, gas leaks down there, and I heard of one elderly couple that was homeless because of the gas leak in their mobile home, and so they're going through a tough time, and living on pins and needles, wondering if it's going to happen again, because they're predicting that it could happen again. So let's pray for those folks. Father, Lord, that we want to be mindful of other people and what they're going through, Lord. And so we pray for the people down in Ridgecrest, California, and anybody, Lord, that's affected by this earthquake. And we pray, God, that your people, God, especially would rise up right now and be generous and giving and caring in that community, Lord. And that, God, what is really a bad time for people, God, would be soothed by the loving care concern of people down there, God. I pray, Father, that these earthquakes would continue to be centered out in the desert, not in populated areas, God. And so, Lord, that we pray for that and ask for that, Lord Jesus. Now, anoint the word, Father, as we go into it, God. Let us be encouraged and learn about you as we leave here today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ron last week titled his sermon, The Reality of Demons. I'm building off of that today, and I'm titling mine, The Reality of the Flesh. Do you realize, Christians, that you have three enemies that seek to stop, hinder you in your relationship with the Lord? One of them is what we talked about last week. It's demons, Satan and demons. The second is the flesh, what we'll be talking about today. And then the third is this world system. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that the God of this world, small g, our God is over everything, but Satan has influence in this world. He influences politics. He influences music. He influences the news cycle. He influences the morals and the values of people. And we see some of his influence, things that are against God. But today I want to talk about the flesh, that part that opposes us in our walk with the Lord. You may remember this story. Several years ago, Vicki and I were speaking. I can't exactly remember the town. And we had been in the car for a couple of days together. And unusual, Vicki was a little snarky during that two-day time. And that's very out of character for her. Normally, I'm the one that'll pop off and say something or get moody. But Vicki, man, she just was not herself and kind of edgy. And that typically would bring on a fight. What's your problem? But this particular time, I was unusually patient. It's all right. All right. I'm just kind of going with the flow. And it was weird. She's kind of the one that's kind of edgy and mouthy. And I'm the one that's just kind of, you know, all right. And so we got to the hotel room, woke up the next day, and I was getting dressed, looked in the mirror, what is that on me? And I looked over, and on the side of my back right here, I had her patch. Now, this is when she was going through the change and had that hormone patch that they give those you gals to wear. True story. Somehow that patch came off of her and landed on me. I don't know how long it'd been there. But the light came on. Oh, that's why she's been so mean. She ain't had her hormone patch on. And maybe that's why I've been so patient. I got extra hormone stuff going into me. True story. I had this strong desire to go to Barnes & Noble, get a poetry book and a chamomile tea. No, that's not true. That's not true. Our flesh is so unpredictable. It can be influenced by hormones. It can be influenced by what we see, what we feel, the environment that we go into. You can't trust it. It's hard to tame. Now, when I talk about flesh, what am I talking about? Well, let me explain some things. Our flesh is that fallen, sinful nature that we're all born with. We're all born with it. Psalm 51:5, David said this. It is our, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David says, hey, I didn't learn to sin when I got into kindergarten. Or all of a sudden, I didn't figure out how to do things I shouldn't do when I hit puberty. He says, no, looking back, he says, realize I was born with this. Not something you learn, not something you acquire. It's not a result of the environment, you know, what side of the tracks you grew up on. It has nothing to do with that. He says, I'm born with this thing. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We inherited from our forefather Adam, the first man, his sin. When he disobeyed God and that sin nature came into him, his spirit died, that was passed through his children to his children to his children to down to us. We are born with flesh that likes to do things that God doesn't want us to do. That's just how it is. So that's one thing that the flesh is. It also, too, the flesh, it produces thoughts and behaviors that are sinful. It causes us to do things that are against what God would have us to do and what God calls sin as revealed in the Bible. Galatians chapter 5 has a list there beginning in verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh, what the flesh produces, they're evident. See them every day. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, sexual sins, idolatry, putting things above God, sorcery. You may have heard this before here, but the New Testament, by the way, was written in Greek originally. Then it was translated over to the various languages around the world. Obviously, most of us read an English translation. So the original Greek word, sometimes it's hard to get the English word that's equivalent to it. The Greek word for sorcery that we translated in our English is pharmakia. Does that sound familiar? Pharmakia, pharmaceuticals. The definition of a pharmakia is the use of potions and spells. This isn't just sorcery. You put a wizard hat on and hocus pocus. It's the occult and drug use tied together. Tied together. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is this, is that illicit drug use opens the door to your soul to occultic demonic stuff. It's true. It's true. That's why you'll hear sometimes people say, man, I was tripping on this drug, man. And all of a sudden I had this voice say, kill this person, kill it, man, that drug. Well, yeah, the drug, also the demon probably. The drug and the demon working hand in hand. So I hope that cautions some of you. I hope it stops some of you that are doing illicit drugs. Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger stuff, disputes, dissension, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing. What is carousing? That's just a party spirit, man. Just carousing. You like to party it up. And things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, you say, oh, thanks, Pastor. Thank you for just telling me I'm going to hell. Because I do some of those things. Well, let me clarify. How many of you have been on a sports team at some time? You've gone to practice, or you've learned an instrument. What do you have to do? I got to go to piano practice. What do you do? It's repetitive. You do it. It's part of your life. You do it, you know, day. It's something you do. That's the thought here. It's not talking to people who are born again people. They're trying to walk with the Lord, but they have the occasional slip-ups. We all slip up. If all of us do, we're going to get in the flesh. Vicky reminded me, I can't believe I did this. You'd think I'd have known better, walking with the Lord for a while. It was just a couple, last year or 2 years ago, I'm coming out of our Bakersfield church. I'd spoke there and getting on the freeway, and the guy cuts me off. I mean, cuts right in front of me. What do? Now, if you've ever been to the Bakersfield church, there's a ton of people there. It's a traffic jam getting in there. There's so many people. And Vicky said, do you realize what you just did? There's a very strong chance, most likely, you just honked at somebody that you just preached to. All of a sudden, no, I didn't realize that. But my flesh just boom, without even thinking. Didn't have to think about it. And then I thought to myself, okay, if I pull up to them, if they approach me, I'll say, you know what, hey, you know what I was honking for? Your tail light was out. I was worried about you. So I was honking, oh, your tail light's out. Then I just go to lying to cover myself. It produces things that you don't want to have happen. Now, if you are here, or if you know people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in God. I'm going to heaven. And yet they practice these things. I'm not talking the occasional slip-up. I'm not talking about where you struggle with something and say, man, I'm struggling with this habit. I'm struggling with this addiction. I'm struggling with my temper. I'm struggling with my mouth. I'm struggling with lust. Man, I'm fighting it. You're fighting it. You're trying. You're agreeing that it's wrong. You're trying things. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people who don't even believe that it's wrong, who have no plans on changing, and yet they call themselves Christians. The Bible says that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're fooling yourself. You're kidding yourself. It's not going to happen. Now, thirdly, what is the flesh? It keeps us from doing the good that we desire to do. You remember my story. I received the Lord in a dugout as a young 19-year-old. Didn't know much about God. Didn't grow up in church. Tried to serve God, most of the time unsuccessful. Decided one road trip, and that's where I got in trouble. When I'd leave on a road trip away from Vicky, the guys would go crazy on the road. I remember saying, I'm gonna stop this. I'm gonna do better. So I bought me a Christian book, and I brought my Bible with me, and I sat on the bus, my own seat, saying, okay, I'm gonna do good. So I sat there, I'm reading my Christian book the whole road trip, and I'm gonna do good. And I really wanted to. I meant it. I'm gonna do good. And then, if you'd have seen me, 3 days later, true story, I'm in a car with my friend, drunker than a skunk, stereo blasting his car to AC/DC's Highway to Hell, and I'm banging my head in the front dash. Kling, kling. What happened? I wanted to do good. I started off wanting to do good. But my flesh took over. And by day three, I'm back doing the same stuff that I tried to get away from. It didn't allow me to do good. Paul puts it this way, what I'm talking about in Romans chapter 7. He says, for what I am doing, I don't even understand. I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. The very thing that I said I'm not going to do, Here I am doing it again. And if you're familiar with that passage of Scripture, at the end of it, Paul says, wretched man or miserable man that I am. And that's what it leaves you. When you're not able to do through your flesh and bodily what you desire to do in your mind, that leaves you very miserable, very frustrated. And then lastly, the flesh, it seeks to enslave us. It's not enough that it'll keep us from doing what we want to do. It's not satisfying until it says, you're in my clutches. I'm going to make you my puppet. Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? You present yourself to God as a slave, then you'll be a slave of righteousness. But if you present yourself not to God and just allow your flesh to live, you'll become a slave of your flesh and ultimately a slave of Satan. Our flesh can become addicted, enslaved to things. Some of you that come from a drug past know what I'm talking about, or an alcohol addiction. that when you stop those drugs or alcohol, your body physically goes through withdrawals. I remember my dad struggled with alcoholism his whole life, and I remember when he would try to dry out, my mom would make this concoction of orange juice and syrup and honey or whatever, trying to stop the DTs, and he'd be in there terribly shaken and just horrible, horrible alcohol withdrawals. And it's terrible to see. That's why a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics don't stop, because they know, man, I know I need to stop, but man, it's going to be painful when I do, because their bodies are addicted. You can become addicted psychologically. Your flesh can. Pornography. That's a mental addiction. Very real. Oh, no. Yeah. A man can have relations with his wife. And so at that point, man, the hormones are taken care of. The body doesn't reduce enough hormones where you shouldn't be desiring relations for another couple days, you know, two or three at the earliest. Physiologically, but if you're into porn, you can go right from your wife right to the computer, and within 5 minutes you're like, oh man, I need sex again. Why? Because you're addicted. It's addicting. Same thing with fear and phobias. Someone, man, their mind can become enslaved to the fear, phobia. They're just so afraid, like, oh my gosh, I get to the point where they won't even come out of their house, they won't eat certain foods, they're just locked in fear. We can become enslaved to our flesh. On a different note, you know, I've pondered this question over years, the issue of homelessness. A lot of money is thrown towards homelessness, and it's a problem. I mean, West Coast now, you're hearing about all the time, these tent cities all up and down the West Coast. And what's interesting is, a man in Seattle that is, you know, not politically slanted either way, not a government employee, just did a study saying, why this explosion of homelessness? And here's what he found out. He found out that less than 7% of the people are homeless because of lack of affordable housing or lack of ability to find a job. That less than 7%. He's found out 80% are homeless because of what would you think? Addiction. Addiction. It's caused them to be homeless. And yet, he said, in one major city, I can't remember the city, but it was a big city. The city posts on their city website, top 6 reasons for homelessness. And not one of those 6 reasons list addiction. So they're throwing all this money and all these things and not even addressing the real problem, which is addiction. So if you're a government employee here, I'm lobbying for more money towards addiction recovery for the homeless. If we're going to put money, put it towards there. You can't even, it's hard to, God can move through, but it's difficult. It's hard to even talk with someone spiritually when they're addicted to drugs. Because all they're just craving. It's like, oh, I've got to have it. They take care of the addiction, and then we can start talking to them spiritually. Still talk to them spiritually. But we got to have some addiction help. That'll be the real key. Not only are our bodies enslaved, but our minds as well. How do you defeat this flesh? Let's talk about that as we close. Well, here's the first way, okay? One, got to cut off the flesh's food. It has food that strengthens it. Romans 13:14 puts it this way, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. That's an interesting word in the Greek for provision. It means forethought, to know in advance. Here's the picture. Let's say this summer that you and your family are going to go on a camping trip. And you know that, hey, once you get up there, man, what you have is what you have. There's no stores around. There's no 7-Elevens. Oh, I forgot this. What you have is what you have. So what are you doing? You're thinking ahead of time. Well, we need food. We need some water. You know, I need a sleeping bag. And then the most important thing, I need coffee. You're thinking ahead, right? What am I going to have, okay? Why? Because you want to make the trip enjoyable. You know that you have to think ahead. Well, here what's talking about is that you can make provision for your flesh. What does that look like? Well, it's like this. And this is how my flesh should be. I was, you know, those lists of sins, I was a carouser. I loved to party, man. Vicki would tell you, like, when we were dating, we'd be, you know, 18, 19 years old, we'd gotten a date, and, okay, honey, you ready to go? Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, I'm tired. Okay, yeah, I'll drop her off. And we weren't saved. I was living with her then. And we go to bed, and, oh, I'm tired too, I'd say. And she'd go to sleep. I'm looking over. As soon as she'd go to sleep, boom, I grab her keys. I'm gone. I'm out partying still. And I'd sneak back in the house. Oh, yeah, you sleep. I slept great last night. How'd you sleep? I said, I love to party. There was no party I didn't enjoy. Where was I going with this thought? Let me look at my notes. Camping. You're going to go camping thinking, making provision. So what I would do is I would plan my schedule around things I enjoy to do. Like going with Vicki, I'm going out with Vicki, but I'm also thinking there's a party over here, so I'll drop her off and go over there. Or you know what? I'm going to call so-and-so because I heard so-and-so just scored a bag of weed. Hey, man, what are you doing? Yeah, I'll be over. And I'd go, so I'm thinking ahead. How can I feed my, I'm thinking ahead. I'm making provision for my flesh. What the verse here says, make no provision. Cut it off. What does your flesh want to do? It wants a party. It wants to go with so-and-so. So what do you do? Say, you know what? Hey, here's what I know I'm not going to do this weekend. I'm not calling so-and-so. Because I know when I call so-and-so, you know, what happens. I know I'm not going here because the last two times I've gone there, I've slipped up. So I'm not going there. So see, you're making no provision. You're cutting off the flesh as food. And what you're doing is you're weakening it. Not killing it. I'll talk about that at the end. You're not gonna. You can't kill the flesh entirely, but you can weaken it. And so you're weakening your flesh. Let me ask you a question. What relationships do you have that are weakening you spiritually? That when you get around those people, you come away weakened. You come away falling back into things. The 3 or 4 day spiritual buildup that you've been on all of a sudden just gets knocked down to nothing. Who are those people? You might need to make some changes and adjustments. Let me ask you another question. What places are you frequenting that are weakening you spiritually? What websites? What locations? What houses are you going to that when you go there saying, man, oh, man, here it is again. You might need to make some adjustments once you identify those things because what you're doing is you're feeding the flesh. You're making provision for it. Secondly, here's how to deal with your flesh. Flee, fight when you fall, and you're going to fall. We all fall. You're going to fall. You're going to honk at someone because they cut you off. You're going to fall. But what you do after that is extremely important. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee. Run. Don't try to negotiate. Don't try to justify. Run. Joseph pointed that out to you. Remember the story of Joseph? He's with Potiphar's wife, if you know the story. All of a sudden, she tells everybody, get out of here. She's getting ready to put a move on Joseph. Says, hey, big boy, come lie with me. Joseph says, what? He says, man, your husband's been good to me. He hired me. He's put me over everything. The only thing he's told me to stay away from is you. Why am I going to do that? Wonder why you say that now. He probably knew. Why would I do that to him? But more importantly, why would I do that to God? Nah, man, you're talking crazy. Come on, nobody's going to know, man. Let's go. Come on. And Joseph said, she's not listening. And you know what? That's it. And Joseph said, hey, look up there at the stars. And boom, he took off. She had a hold of his piece of clothing, whatever it was, and basically left him. Where'd he go? He just ran. You say, oh, man, he's a coward. No, he's smart. He's smart. Oh, he should have fought it. No. Your flesh will kick your hind in. It's strong. You get that train on the track, man. It's strong. Run. Get away from it. Joseph was smart. flee, fight when you fall. And then also, too, run to others when they fall. Don't run away from them. Run when it's trying to get you, but when somebody else falls, you run back and give them a hand. Hey, let me help you up. Galatians talks about that, 6:1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, in other words, you who are walking with the Lord at the time, you who are in a better place spiritually than your brother who just tripped up, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. That word restore, we talked about it before, it's the picture of setting in place, setting something back in place. It's like a dislocated shoulder, a dislocated knee. I hope that you wouldn't come upon your friend or your spouse or your child and say, oh, your knee's out of place. Here, you know what? Here, hold on a second. Wham! You just pull that thing back. Now, hopefully you'd be gentle and say, okay, just roll over. Just roll over. It'll fall back into place. Or here, let's just move it. Really, let's just kind of, okay, it'll come back in. You're gentle. You're helping them. That's how you want to do when somebody trips up. They're already down. Don't kick them when they're down. Speak truth to them. There's going to be some pain. Whenever you set something back into place, a shoulder, knee, there's going to be some pain involved. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you can be kind during the getting back into place. Help them get back into place. Why? Well, because you want to be kind. But also, too, because next time, guess what? Guess who's going to get back into place? You. You might be that person. You want them to treat you how you treated them. And then thirdly, lastly, how do you deal with the flesh? Crucifying the flesh is the only real solution. It's the only real solution to dealing with your flesh. Galatians 5:24 says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That word for desires means an inordinate lust. It's not your run-of-the-mill lust. Ladies, you may not be aware of this, but all guys struggle with lustful thoughts for women. All guys. And no, I don't struggle. Well, maybe you don't have enough hormones going on, but guys with hormones do. We struggle. We have to fight it. Now, you can control it and keep your flesh in line, but that's how God made us. We're simulated by sight. I told you before, that's how you wives, this is insight for you guys or gals. You could be fighting with your man. He's been a rear for the last 2 days to you. Just been ornery. And all of a sudden, man, you come out of the shower, he walks across there, and all of a sudden he becomes like, oh, hi, honey, can I get something for you? And he's all nice, and, oh, let's let bygones be bygones. Why? Because he saw you. He's stimulated by sight. He's stimulated by sight. And that's how he's charged up. An inordinate lust is that where you take that natural lust and now all of a sudden it's like it's gone beyond. It's on steroids. The flesh can happen. It can happen for lust. It can happen for food. It can happen for possessions, for shopping. Something where you know, what I'll start with is, I mean, this thing's out of control. That can happen to the flesh. Passions is an interesting word. Crucified desires and passions. That word passion, in the Greek, it means an affliction, completely different in the Greek. You wouldn't have got that affliction. It's the picture of being born, because we know that we're born with sinful flesh, right? And some of us are born with fleshly afflictions. Now, we know what physical affliction looked like. Somebody born with cystic fibrosis, lungs. Somebody born with spina bifida, spine. Somebody born with Down syndrome. And the list goes on. They didn't ask for it. They didn't cause it. It's not the consequence of their parent. It just happened. It's just an affliction. It's part of being in this broken planet where things aren't right. In the same way, you can have an affliction, something that is afflicted that you will have to deal with for the rest of your life. You'll have to deal with it. That will help you understand why some people are prone towards certain sins. You've heard the thing, you know, I was just born this way. And part of it is true. Yeah, they were born that way. They're born with an affliction of the flesh, that they sin in this manner. And as a result of that, it's going to be something that they're going to have to deal with. But the problem is, is that we try to deal with it in ways that don't work. I'm going to ask Chris McBride to come out, and I want to see if I can illustrate this for you, what I'm talking about, these afflictions and this flesh. Give Chris a hand. This is my flesh. It's fired up. And man, it gets burning and it gets going and it just sometimes can just consume me. But here's the problem is I'm a Christian and I don't want to live according to the flesh. This flesh gets in the way of me pleasing God. And so I need to stop this thing. So how can I stop it? And I'll say, oh, I know what I'll do. I'm struggling with my flesh because I have too much time on my hands, so I'll get super busy. All right, I'm ready to work out, man. I'm going to work out more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to do more with the kids. I'm just going to, busyness. Ah, that's the solution. It'll put out this fire. Yeah, see, I knew. Busyness. I thought that would work. It didn't. Huh. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'm being too carnal. I need to get religious. I'm going to the Christian bookstore. I'm buying a big Bible. I'm talking a honking Bible. I'm going to get bumper stickers. I'm going to cover my car in bumper stickers. I need to get a cross. And where? That'll help tame this thing. I'll become a Christian Flavor Flav. That'll stop my flesh. I knew, yeah. Come on, flesh. There. Oh, man. I thought becoming religious. That didn't work. Oh, what to do? This thing. Ah! I know the problem. It's you. And you. If you wouldn't get me so mad, I wouldn't lose my temper. If you wouldn't dress the way you're dressing, I wouldn't be so lust-filled. Washington, D.C., if you guys would get your act together, I wouldn't get so discouraged and so depressed and so fearful on the future. It's government. That's it. I'm leaving, man. I just need to get alone. I'm going to take on a monk's lifestyle. It's you, people. I just need to get away and that my flesh will stop. I'll become a monk. I'll join the monastery. Because it's you people. If I can just get away, man. Come on, flesh. It's them. There. See? No, it's them. It's not me. Yes. No. And what people do and where they get to is they try all those things and more, and yet they still find themselves fighting this flesh, and then they begin to lose hope. And for some, it results in them ultimate act of hopelessness where they take their life. For others, they just throw in the towel. Christianity doesn't work for me. Works for everybody else. Ain't working for me. And many variations. And if they would only realize that the only way to deal with your flesh is to extinguish it. That's one of the definitions of crucify. The word means to impale or to extinguish. The only way to deal with this thing is to extinguish it. Finally, I get some relief. Finally. You extinguish it, you impale it, you put your foot on the throat of your flesh, and you don't step off of it. You keep your foot on the flesh. You keep your foot on the neck of it. Why? I mean, once I step on it once, is it? No. Because what happens is your flesh is like this. It'll come back on you. You have to keep your foot on it. You may be a person here, you probably know of people that have dealt with their flesh for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years. I knew one for 20 years. And they took their foot off of it and began to make provision for it. And guess what? It came back twice as strong as before. The addiction came back before. You can never kill your flesh. The Bible says, consider your flesh dead. You'll never kill it as long as you have this body, but you can consider it dead. You can put your foot on their sin. You know what, sucker? Yeah, you're just going to stay right there. And I'm going to live my life, consider my flesh dead. I'm not going to feed it. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Occasionally, I'm going to get off balance. Going to come to life, and I'm going to put it right back on there. And I'm going to walk in the Spirit so I don't carry out the desire of the flesh. Because I want to live a life pleasing to God and beneficial to others, and I want to be able to live with myself without guilt, shame, and remorse. Does that resonate with anybody here? Okay. Thank you, Chris. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word that shows us how to deal with this enemy, Lord, that we carry around in our body, Paul says. Thank you, Father, that if we'll consider our flesh dead, if we'll make no provision for it, God, that we can live a life in the Spirit, the life that we want to live, God. And I pray, Lord, that anybody here that didn't have hope, they'd have hope here today. Now, they're going to have to take some steps, God. They're going to have to take some steps. I just pray you'll show them those steps. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you're here today saying, I need to make a formal recommitment of my life. I've been living a fleshly life. And then I want to just formalize it here, Pastor. Will you pray with me? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. That's all I'll do. I'll pray with you right where you sit. But you're making rededication to dealing with your flesh and living a life pleasing to God by His Spirit that lives inside of you. Just raise your hand. Let me know who I'm praying for. Let me just see some hands. Who am I praying for here? Who's God talking to? Whose heart's being touched right now? Who's feeling like God's calling them to a whole different way of living here today? Yep. Raise it up. Don't be ashamed. Heart's beating fast. Palms are sweaty. Just know that that's God talking to you. That's God talking to you. That's how He speaks oftentimes. There's a fight going on inside of you oftentimes. Yep. Raise it up. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. By you raising your hand, you're humbling yourself. You're telling God, I'm not in the place where I need to be. That takes humility, but God is drawn close to that. God's drawn close to that. All right, you that have your hands raised, you can put them down. Everybody else, I want you to pray with these folks. I want us all together to say this simple prayer. Say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I receive Him as my Savior. And from this day on, I want to live by the Spirit. I want to put to death my sinful flesh. Come inside of me, make me born again, and I make a decision today to live for God. Amen and amen. If you made that decision, keep coming to church, talk with somebody who's a little older than the Lord, and they'll help you. Other than that, God bless you. Continue to have a great 4th of July weekend. We'll see you.